Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 71. And if this is your first episode ever of Nerd Nuptial, this is a show about a married couple, us.
Yeah.
Looking at nerd life through a married lens. What's it like to be two nerds married in this crazy world? And how it affects us and our new baby named Ripley, who is turning 6 months very soon.
Yeah. Very cool.
Now, what is our topic tonight?
Well, we're looking for old baby toys because she's getting bored with the toys that she has right now. And we were looking in my basement and we found a bunch of my old nerdy toys. And it just made me think about like our old nerdy toys of like what we liked and what is acceptable nerdy toys that we can have today. Like in
as
our,
adults.
Yeah, in our real life now.
Because if you're listening to this show, then you're a nerd. Hate to break it to you. And you were probably always a nerd. I mean,
maybe.
I shouldn't say probably. I should say you were most likely always a nerd. You were probably that kid in school who liked reading science fiction novels or like Star Wars or Star Trek or read comic books or, you know, played Dungeons and Dragons or something like that. You know, like you were most likely not the cool kid. Now, I know out of the two of us at this table, you were the cool kid in school.
Well, I was a discreet nerd, though. I don't necessarily know that I broadcasted my nerddom, which I'm a little ashamed to say as a kid.
I was loud and proud. If there was a nerd flag, I would be draped in it when I was a kid.
Yeah, I was kind of in the shadows.
I remember there was one time when I was in maybe fifth grade, maybe fourth grade, somewhere around in there, like late elementary school, and there was a character who, it was Freak the Mighty. That was the book. It was Freak the Mighty. And so, you know, like you have, you know, like the huge guy, Mighty. And he went over to the Freak's house. Or what, I think I'm remembering these names right. What, it doesn't really matter. There was like, there was a really big guy and there was a tiny guy. And the tiny guy was a huge nerd. And like there, he was talking about, the nerd was talking about how he didn't really watch too much TV. And he's like, yeah, but you have a TV over there. He's like, yeah, how else would I watch Star Trek? The entire class, I was sitting in the back row, the entire class turned and looked at me when we got to that point in the book.
Awesome.
That's how much I advertise my nerddom.
Awesome.
And specifically Star Trek.
Yeah.
So you hit it. You're the Star Wars girl.
Yes.
I'm the Star Trek guy. You're the Star Wars girl, but you hid your Star Wars-ness.
Yeah, I always liked like science fiction, I feel like. I always liked that genre, but it probably wasn't until when the special editions came out in theaters that I actually really embraced Star Wars specifically. And then, you know, everything from there kind of changed.
Well, there was a huge revival in the Star Wars fandom when there was the special editions were re-released. I mean, mm-hmm. For most people, that was mm-hmm. their first time seeing Star Wars in theaters. I mean,
yeah, that was mine.
We were born in the mid-80s, mm-hmm. so we missed Return of the Jedi mm-hmm. and all the other ones, obviously, in theaters. And it wasn't until you went to like the Music Box downtown or they had some sort of massive revival or something like that. And,
yeah.
And so like I just remember, like, all new toys were coming out.
Yes.
When the special editions were coming out.
Definitely.
And that was a big thing. And, like fast forward a couple of years when The Phantom Menace came out in 1999. That was a huge resurgence of Star Wars toys and fast food toys and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's go, like, so we're talking about toys, like nerd toys and everything like that, like growing up that way and like what can we do now and how's that influenced our adult life. So when we were going through all of your old stuff in your basement, like trying to find stuff for Ripley,
mm-hmm.
I noticed that like everything was organized very, very well with your toys.
I don't know if I can take necessarily credit for that. I probably am more like that now, but my mom was really like, there was a Barbie shoe box and that's where all the Barbie shoes was. And then there was a Barbie food box, like wow. Barbie clothes box, like everything had a box. So like all my Star Wars stuff, like I had like one of my favorite things was Star Wars micro machines, and I loved them because they were like nerdy Polly Pockets.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know if anyone knows what Polly Pockets were, but I think they're probably outlawed now because people are choking on them.
I was like, oh, look at this tiny little Chewbacca. I want to put this down my esophagus.
Exactly. And so like you could take the whole thing with you. And so it was just kind of fun because there were like these little things you could play with them anywhere because you could literally fit it in your pocket.
I had the Star Trek versions of those. Like I had the Star Trek micro machines.
Oh, did you?
Like I had a Romulan warbird, a Klingon bird of prey, had the Enterprise, everything like that. You pop it open.
Yeah.
And you had like two little guys.
Yeah.
They always came with two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember there was one time my sister found my Romulan warbird and it was like it only had one person in it. She's like, where's the other one? I was like, oh, no, this one only came with one. It's like, are you sure you didn't lose the other one? No. This one only came with one. I just lied through my teeth. Because those things were so easy to lose.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I took really good care of mine. I still have all of mine.
Yeah, my toy collection was the exact opposite. Like, you'd find a box and it would have different fandoms mingling together. You'd have a blaster for Calrissian on a stormtrooper or, like, a phaser with Yoda. You know, it just it made no sense. It was crazy town. So do you remember what was one of your first nerdy toys? Like, I mean, I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be something from an official fandom. Like it's like, oh, this was my first Star Wars figurine was Yoda or something like that. Like you could say like, oh, I got a ray gun or something when I was four.
I think nerdy toy. Would like laser tag count? Or you mean specifically to a fandom?
Maybe let's bring it into a fandom. You know, like
probably Star Wars. Then,
but like, do you remember what it was? Like, was it the Millennium Falcon?
It was probably my Millennium Falcon. Oh, was it my Millennium? Or I think it was my Millennium Falcon. Like the one that actually worked with like the action figures.
Okay,
I think that
the big
was
one?
Yeah, like the big one. I think that was like a big deal that I was able to save for that.
Oh, that's the thing. Yeah. Is that like, I had the same thing where like I saved for the Millennium Falcon. That was expensive. That was $60, $50, something like that. And back in the 90s, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And even today, that's a lot of money. But it was, I remember like I like my parents would not buy that for me. That was something I had to purchase myself. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had a big chunk of it from my Aunt Penny, and it was for my birthday. And I remember, like, she wrote me a check, and, like, I think I was in the Target or Walmart or something like that. I was like, can I hand the cashier this check? Aww. And my dad's like, no, sweetie, you can't.
Aww,
just...
It's so cute.
It's made out to you. And in the memo, it says hugs and kisses. No, I don't think they're going to take that here.
Yeah. I think also I tried to get all the G.I. Joes that were Star Wars themed. So, like, Han Solo and Lando and Luke and Leia. They weren't necessarily the most flattering interpretations of those characters, but I remember like that was a big deal, like trying to save to get all of them so they could play with my Barbie dolls.
So so that kind of I mean, like, I could go on and on about my obsession with nerd toys. I mean, like, I had every kind of Star Wars vehicle you could think of, every kind of Star Trek ship.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to get as many action figures as possible. I mean, back then, action figures were like today. Like, I remember seeing like a little action figure, and it was like $10. Some were $15 for like just a little piece of plastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were growing up, I thought $5 was a lot.
Right. Right.
For an action
figure. And now that's like the standard is to pay like $10, $15.
It's insane. And like when I look back on all of the figurines that I have, some in box, some not, you know, it's I always thought that, oh, you know, like they're going to be worth something someday, so you better take good care of them or keep some in box and everything like that. You look up the price on eBay now, it's less than what you paid for it.
Right, right.
You know, when you were a kid, and you're like, even with inflation, you're like, what the hell? I was totally lied to. This is like Beanie Babies all over again.
It's true. It's so true. There were so many things that like our parents thought like, oh, these will be worth something. Probably would have been just fine just to play with them.
Absolutely true. So what is it? So like as kids, we needed to have those pieces of plastic. Like we needed to play with that.
Mm-hmm.
And even as an adult today, we have that urge to have those things.
Like Pop Funkos.
Yeah, like yeah, Pop Funkos right. are essentially our action figures
yeah.
of today.
Yeah.
What is that need? Why do we need to have that? They serve no function other than decorative. And they're weird. They have beady eyes. They have huge heads. We mainly get them only at Hot Topic. Sometimes we'll buy them online.
Yeah.
And we have, like, our house looks like adults live here. Like, it's a shiny facade.
Kind of. I don't know. There's, like, elements that I'm like, yeah, it just shows our nerddom.
Like what?
Well, like, we have a nerdy hallway leading to our nerd cave.
That's true.
So, like...
Nerd cave.
Well, I have more, probably equal Pop Funkos in there than
That's true.
To you, so... Yeah. So, we have, like, I don't know, like... Our picture of Helena Bonham Carter.
And, we have a wall of Fincher.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's right.
Like, we have like
House of Cards.
On one side, mm-hmm. we have Gone Girl, we have Fight Club, and mm-hmm. we have House of Cards. And then on yeah. the other side, we have a travel posters, one for Hawaii, one for Chicago, and one for Stars Hollow from Gilmore
right,
Girls.
Right, right. Because so we travel there a lot.
But that's the thing, is that, like, you there's little bits and pieces here, but it still looks like
yeah.
adults live here. So what's the line? Like, why do we not have... Like, if Star Wars... from 1977 is one of our favorite movies together.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we not have a Star Wars poster right at the top of the stairs?
I think there's just this feeling of like we shouldn't. Like because we are adults that it would be I don't know, maybe it's because we like had that stuff up in college.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, well, I should probably have, like, framed art. Now, not that you couldn't frame a poster of, you know, Star Wars, but it's just that feeling of, like, maybe I should move on to, like, real art.
And that's the thing. We have very nice real art hanging yeah. up. And we have one little hallway mm-hmm. that has some of our nerdy stuff, but it's mm-hmm. very subdued.
Yeah. Like, it looks... You may not notice.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Because it's an original piece of Marla from Fight Club. Mm-hmm. It's an original piece of Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright
yeah.
in the House of Cards.
Right.
And the Gone Girl poster is not a poster that you've seen of Gone Girl before.
Right, right.
It's something interesting and something original. And so, you know, and the Stars Hollows one looks like it could blend in with our other travel posters.
Right.
So it's subdued nerdery.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if we did have a Star Wars poster up at the top of the stairs, like saying like, boom, this is our house. The girl and Tristan live
right,
here.
Our entryway.
Like mm-hmm. this is the first impression of the Riddell experience in this mm-hmm. house. I feel like it would have to be framed.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Probably, yeah.
And like that's one of those things that you're right, just like, you have to do when yeah. you move.
No sticky tack.
No sticky tack. When you move from college to a big boy house,
mm-hmm.
You have to have framed photos on the wall.
Right.
I feel like it would have to be some sort of weird foreign interpretation of Star Wars. Like it would
something
have to,
artsy.
It would have no. It'd have to be like the Japanese poster that not too many people have seen, or it needs to be like some sort of weird Swedish avant-garde minimalistic interpretation of Star Wars.
Okay.
You know, like I feel like
okay.
I feel like that's what would have to happen if we wanted to hang that stuff in normal view, because like so many of the people that are on this network,
mm-hmm.
like other hosts, they have nerd caves.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of man caves, they have nerd
right,
caves.
Right, right, yeah.
Just like we do. Like,
yeah.
we have our movie room
yeah.
/ nursery now.
Right.
And I still have one Star Trek poster up. I had to take down everything else. We have Pop Funkos integrated with our movies
still
and everything
bitter,
like that.
Probably towards Ripley because of that.
But, so, like tons of these people have nerd caves, but it does not exist outside of that confined space. Now, most of those people, their excuse is, oh, I'm the only nerd in this relationship. But you and I have a nerd nuptial.
True.
So why don't we have it out in the open? Why do we not have these posters, these Pop Funkos all over the place? Why do we not have an X-Wing fighter hanging from the ceiling? Crudely by fishing wire.
I was going to say, well, first of all, it wouldn't stay up. But I think it probably is some type of peer pressure thing. It mm-hmm. probably is... society telling us that because we're adults we shouldn't, like, we should contain it into an area. Yeah, I feel like, although for us, I feel like when we do buy a Pop Funko, it like tells people a little bit about our identity of like what we like. Mm-hmm. And we try to find obscure ones or ones that like we really love that movie or like we really love that ones, character. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, we have a lot of them. You know, we like a lot of characters. So I feel like it's that identity, but maybe it's like, maybe it's still like that hidden identity situation again, where you don't want to be too out to your friends about your nerddom. Uh-huh. Like, or you want to kind of package it away if you don't want to show it.
I feel
or be like judged or something.
I feel like there's still a little bit of nerdery that is linked to childhood. Because we are such big nerds as kids, I feel like you and I are like still linked that in our brains. Like, we were nerds when we were kids. Yeah, we're still nerds. I mean, we're hosting a podcast.
I was going to say, yeah.
And I'm the publisher of a network called The Nerd Party. But let's move that aside. Like, in our public lives, like if you were in our life, actually, you know, it's just, we just don't have it out in the open. Are we ashamed of it? Or is it just this compartmentalization of this is what adults do, and so we have to act like adults? Like, is it the same reason why we don't have ice cream for breakfast?
I think maybe. Like, you could, but you're not supposed to. Like, you were taught, I don't know. Like, you're taught, like, okay, well, now you package away your toys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you don't have this up. You know, you could have that in college. You could have that when you were a kid, but you can't have it now. I don't know.
Like, John Mills, co-host of Aggressive Negotiations and Great Shot Kid, he has talked about this a lot. He's talked about this topic a lot. He said, he's like, we are the generation that never put their toys away.
Mm.
And that's true. I find that very interesting because, you know, like, our parents' generation, when they were kids, they had toys just like everybody else. But they didn't take them to college. They didn't take them to their first apartment. You know, they didn't take them, you know, like, they didn't sneak them into their kid's nursery. You know,
that's true.
You know, like, they and like, they didn't try to have a Star Wars or Star Trek themed nursery for their kids. You know, they're just like, oh, I like that as a child.
That's true.
But I feel like the difference is that where some people have a disconnect is like, so say, like, our parents' generation. Oh, I was really into Flash Gordon when I was a kid. You know, like, I'd see the serials. I read the comic books and everything like that. And I was a kid when I liked that. I grew up and that, you know, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
With us, I feel like it's much more mixed in with just a hobby or things like sports. You know, like, you see somebody who is really into sports. They have the jerseys on the wall.
Yeah.
They wear the jerseys. They got the pennants. They got the banners everywhere.
Yeah.
In their nerd cave. You know,
sure,
like, that's
sure.
Their,
yeah,
their man cave is our nerd cave.
Right.
And so you'd almost kind of want to say, it was like, why do you still watch football? You know, like, why do you still root for the team?
Well,
you did that as a kid.
Right. And I guess, like, but they could say, well, I can watch it now too. Well, isn't that kind of the case now with, like, Star Trek and Star Wars? Like, or certain fandoms, like, they're still so prominent in our lives. They never really left. Does that play a factor, maybe?
That's an argument that I've heard before, because I remember the first convention I ever went to was just a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I never really went to conventions as a young person. And I it was ever since I moved to the Chicagoland area, I was like, oh man, I have so much at my fingertips now.
Right.
I'm going to go to some conventions.
Yeah.
I remember I got back from my first convention. I was at your parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And I love your mother. She loves me. We have a great relationship. But she kind of was just like, I don't get it. You know, I don't get it, Tristan. Why are you so in love with this? And I was like, well, I mean, it's great. It's awesome. It entertains me. She's like, but why would you go to a convention to celebrate? And I was like, well, why do people go to sports arenas? And they're like, well, because it's happening right in front of them. And I was like, well, when I watch a Star Trek movie, it's happening right in front of me too. They're like, well, you already know how it ends. I was like, so what? Like, it's still enjoyable. And it's just like, there's so, and one of the arguments was, well, you know, like, you know, sports is current. It's ongoing. you know, Star Trek hasn't been on the air for years. You know, this was mm-hmm. before Discovery came out or anything like that. And that was the argument.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, but I have over 700 episodes to go back to and rewatch and rewatch. And so I feel like that's the disconnect with a lot of people. Sports, it's current, it's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
But with nerdom, it's all in the past. It's already happened.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. And yet at the same time, you know, you can revisit those characters and you can, you know, live, you know, again, those events or whatever, those stories. So I don't know. I feel like when we buy things, I feel like it's kind of showing others a piece of our identity, but I don't know why we feel necessarily the need to hide it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I get that.
Yeah, it's this thing where, okay, we're going to get these Pop Funkos or we're going to get this really cool Gone Girl poster, mm-hmm. but it's not going to be in the living room. it's going to be in the back room.
Yeah.
And so like when we give people a tour of our house, we're like, and this is the Nerdasium, you know,
right,
like this is where we contain our geeky stuff and you know, we get kind of coy with it. And it's just, I don't know. We still haven't answered the question as of why. I think it's because society tells us that that's a kid thing.
Yeah, I think so.
And you have to bury that. And so there's that little bit of us that's still ashamed.
Yeah, I think so. And maybe, you know, the word nerd now is much more popular.
Oh, very much.
And
so.
More socially acceptable. But maybe there's like a hint of us remembering when it was negative.
That could be it.
We're like, oh, I really like this, but if someone says something negative about the stuff I love that's in my house, I'm gonna feel really bad.
Yeah.
Or like, I know that like if someone says something about something, I'm probably gonna remember that and associate it with that thing.
It's true.
So, you know, this is a safe space, and it's it's your space. So you don't necessarily want, you know, not everyone gets to see the Nerdasium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
I you know what? I think you might have something there where we were still around when it was not cool to be a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the nerd cave because that's where, that's like you said, that's our safe space. That's our protected space.
Right.
Like that is that's the inside of our brain.
Right.
The living room, the foyer is the entryway. This is what we show people,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we're, this is our public face.
Right.
This, yeah. So like, yeah, the living room is our face. And the Nerdasium is our brain.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
I like that a lot because it's so true. Like, we were around when you could get your ass kicked for being a nerd or mm-hmm. chastised for being a nerd. Nerd was an insult.
Right.
Now, Marvel movies are making billions of dollars and everybody... Like, I go to work. Everybody talks about, like, oh, did you see the latest Spider-Man? Yeah, no, I did. Or like, oh, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to see it. And... none of them read comic books. None of them ever read comic books. None of them ever, you know, picked up a Spider-Man book or anything like that.
Yeah,
knew the origins of Peter Parker. And
right,
I'm not saying that you have to have done that to enjoy the movies. And I'm not saying that if you like the movies, that doesn't make you a nerd. It's just, it's so utterly acceptable today because these movies are so successful.
Right.
That everybody loves nerd material. But there's a core group of us that still remembers
right
when it wasn't in vogue.
Well, I remember like waiting for my car to pick me up and like two kids were having like a conversation about Star Wars. And I remember fighting this urge to participate and kind of out myself that I was a nerd or just kind of like stay silent. And I can't remember what I did. I probably stayed silent, to be mm-hmm. honest. But it was that fight of like, oh, I don't know. Like, do I want to share that part of myself? And maybe that's what it is. It's like, do I want to share that part of myself so openly when people just come over casually?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so with the merchandise that you bought, like when you were a kid, mm-hmm. when you were in middle school and high school and everything mm-hmm. like that, where did you keep that merchandise?
In the basement.
In the basement?
Yeah.
You didn't keep it in your room? 'Cause...
Oh, no. No, I did. I okay. did. Yeah. I don't think, but I remember everything had like a spot. So, like I had a whole, I mean, I've talked about this before, but I had a whole Star Wars corner. So I must have not had very many like random friends over. Mm-hmm. I must have had only like close friends over that I was okay with sharing that information with.
I'd love to hear from some of our listeners.
Yeah.
About, were you in the closet as a nerd?
Right.
Or were you out and proud? And if you were in the closet, did you hide some of your nerd stuff? Or, you know, like, or did you just, whoever would come in to your room, say like, yeah, this is me.
This is me now.
This is what my brain looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you can do is you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, fill out the form that sends us an email right away, or you can find us on Twitter at @joinnerdparty, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty. Let us know.
I'd also like to know what is acceptable for you now.
Yes.
As an adult, like, you know, do you have your nerdyasium where it's all in one room or it's all in your basement? Or... if you're in a nerd nuptial, are you like, no, it's all over the place. We're just, you know, all about it. There's no hiding that part of us.
Yeah, I'd love to know. Honestly, like, anybody who's listening to this, please let us know by contacting us. And if we get some interesting answers, we'll read them on the air.
Yeah,
because I know that some people, like, we call it the nerdasium. But I know some people call it, like, the Bat Cave or the Fortress of Solitude, you know, things like that.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And, like, we have some, like we talked about, we had some nerdy things out. So you'd probably know if you were a nerd, but you don't necessarily know it if you're not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hidden. But, yeah, because, like, at work, like, I have all of my nerd stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I have movie posters, I have TV posters, I got figurines.
Mm-hmm.
I've got really geeky figurines out. Like, I have a Pop Funko of my blue alien girlfriend from Mass Effect Andromeda. I got a picture of Batman and Harley together. Mm-hmm. I've got a little Batman figurine. I've got Species 8472 from Voyager, which is super esoteric. And I've got pictures of my wife and my kid, you know?
Right.
And so, actually, when Game of Thrones aired, season 7 first aired, I'm always the first one in the building. I go in early to work, and my boss is always the second person. And she came in, and she goes, "So, you know, how was Game of Thrones last night?" And I said, "I was like, oh, I don't watch Game of Thrones." And she started looking around my cube.
Oh no.
And I saw
her
eyes.
It's like the one, like, fandom that you don't participate in.
Yeah, like, I saw her eyes turn around, and I was like, yeah, no, I know, I'm an outlier. Like, yeah. I'm a nerd, but I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And so there's certain assumptions that come with being a
nerd.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
And because we have that, like, at work, I have that merchandise out and for everybody to see. Like, I don't hide it. Everybody knows that's me.
Yeah.
Even though everybody talks about this stuff, I take it to the next level.
Right.
By having the merchandise in my space. Like, even though everybody's talking about Batman and Spider-Man and whatever is in the theaters right now, I'm the person that they come to if they have a question about that stuff.
You know, it's really interesting because I guess I still am kind of a little bit of a secret nerd. I hate to admit that because when I'm teaching, there are a few kids who like pick up on the fact that I'm a nerd, especially like when I teach science fiction or if I make, you know, references that are only funny to me because that's what you do as a teacher, you know, that have to do with like, oh, let's make a connection to this or, you know, some type of nerdy thing. And then they're like, I can tell, like, you know,
deep reference.
The nerds find each other. And like with theater, I feel like there were certain kids that would come and talk to me about like certain TV shows and they knew that, okay, Riddell watches these things. Mm-hmm. But it's just interesting because I don't necessarily know that the rest of my students would have known that about me. Just because
it takes a nerd to recognize a nerd.
I think so. Like if you paid attention, you would know, but it's not like I'm, you know, dressing up for Halloween or wearing nerdy t-shirts, you know. But if you want to talk about it, I am all about it. You know, it's just interesting.
I think that's very accurate about you. Like, I've seen you interact with your kids and it's true. Like, the nerdy ones know you're a nerd.
Yes.
And
yes.
The non-nerdy ones probably wouldn't know because the references that you make go right over their heads.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not like I'm like, hey guys, I'm a nerd. But they will know just by my speech.
regardless of what fandom you're into, they know you're a nerd.
Exactly.
Because you're a geek.
Exactly. That's right.
I think that's a level of nerddom. That's mm-hmm. a level of being a nerd. Is that you're not ashamed of it, but you're not speaking like a Dalek or anything like that from Doctor Who. You're not like you said, you're not wearing a Harry Potter scarf when you walk in. But if somebody says to you, hey, do you like Star Wars? You'd say, heck yes, and here's why.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know, I would have pins and stuff on my bags and stuff like that. And some kids would be like, hey, I recognize that. Or, mm-hmm. I know that fandom. But it's not as out. It's not as obvious.
Now, speaking of references and everything like that, I started having a conversation with a friend of mine, and we were talking about rewatching movies and everything like that. And I said, the girl and I, we've been thinking about doing a Dark Knight rewatch. Like, we'd normally do Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises as a double bill, but mm-hmm. I think it's time to do all three. And then somehow Star Wars came up, and I said, the girl and I have been itching for an excuse to do an original trilogy rewatch. And mm-hmm. he's like, man, sometimes I just get really jealous of not being of you being married to a nerd. I was like, yeah, it's pretty awesome. And he was talking about, my friend was saying, oh yeah, there are so many times when I'll drop a reference and it just goes over everybody's head. And I started thinking about how you and I communicate. 40% of our conversation is movie references.
It probably is really annoying for other people. But
I know, right? It has to be really annoying for other people. Or somehow that's how we can speak in code.
It's true.
No joke.
Yeah, that's true.
And one is an Arrested Development reference that I use all the time. I'll say something like, oh, would that be good for Army?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, no, I think so. And it's just... it's Buster from Arrested Development saying he likes something.
Yeah.
And for I'm not going to explain why it is.
Right.
But saying it's good for Army means it's cool.
Right. And we use that all the time. All the time.
Constantly. I will go out shopping and pick up a shirt and be like, that could be good for Army. And you're like, yeah, that looks great on you. And people overhearing would have no idea what we're talking about. No
idea. Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember even after we made that realization, or I pointed, not that it was a big realization, but after I pointed it out, for the next hour, we made 6 movie references.
Yeah.
And we weren't trying to do it. It was just how we communicate.
Right. It was just, it's just part of our vernacular. It's just part of who we are. And, you were talking about how there are times at work where you're say something and no one understands the reference. And yet it's a part of how we communicate. So sometimes I think it might get us into trouble where you're like, oh, yeah. Your own little language doesn't quite work everywhere.
it's true. I even remember saying out loud, man, if my wife was here, she would think that was hilarious. You guys don't even know.
You don't even know.
But there is that element of being with other nerds where you are comfortable to make those references, and there's no... when you're in a staff meeting or when you're out with a bunch of people, mm-hmm. you have that internal monologue where you're just like, oh, can I make this joke? Will they get the joke? It's funny.
Right, right.
It's an apt time to say the joke, but you're like, I don't know if they'll get it. Not because they're stupid or not because it's not funny, but just because they might not have seen that movie or seen that TV show or read that comic. And so you have that internal struggle of, oh, and now the moment has passed.
Yeah.
But when you're with other nerds, you are free to talk how you want to talk and free to talk how you normally talk. And I remember going to the Star Trek Las Vegas convention last mm-hmm. year. And that's actually, I think that's going on right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's going on right now, or at least it's going on soon this week. And it just, I was with the SETI Alpha 3 guys and a whole bunch of other, and Char from Punch and everything like that. We were all hanging out, and Philip Gilfus from SETI Alpha 3, he comes over and he has, I think it's just like a 2-liter of Sprite. And he just says, he's like, something new from Frocus 3. And all of us lost it. We're like, oh my God, Phil, you're so freaking hilarious. And it's from Star Trek. And it's something really, really tiny from Star Trek. And if I said that at a staff meeting, people would think I had a stroke.
But in that environment, you're like, oh, it's so nice just to like be with people that understand your language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to turn that off when like you leave something like a convention where there's literally thousands of people.
Right.
Who talk like you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I feel like I get to come home to that. Mm-hmm. Like I come home to that nerdy person
mm-hmm.
where I can make those jokes. And right. it's, I feel like I go to a convention every night.
Wow.
A tiny one.
Exhausting.
A tiny one. And it's nowhere near as gross where you're scared of getting sick or anything like that.
Oh my God. I'm glad. That's a positive. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But do you ever catch yourself doing that at work or even with your family? Like, because your parents are nerds.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I think there's times where it's almost even under my breath where I'll say something where, you know, we'll say like some type of weird thing and it'll pop out and then I'll be like, oh, they don't understand that. Or my kids, I'll say something and I'll be like, oh, no one gets that. Yeah. Like, I'm just the weird teacher. But I don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of it is more like in my head or under my breath.
Like, this would be a time to make a killer Terrence Malick reference.
Yes, that's what I always am thinking.
Hey, do not even pretend.
I'm just kidding.
Don't even pretend no, like you're not a Terrence Malick film.
No, I'm
a fan.
I'm just saying that would be a little obscure to come up with one of those.
I could do it right now.
I'm sure you could.
All right. Well, that's our show. We already gave you the call to action at the beginning. And right now I'm going to give you another call to action. Go to thenerdparty.com. Check out all of our other shows. We have so many great shows. I mean, like if we didn't mention one of your fandoms tonight, we most likely have it at the Nerd Party. We have a Harry Potter podcast. We have two Star Wars podcasts. We have a Star Trek podcast. We have a General Geek podcast. We have this one. We have one that's about writing and popular culture. We have one about a dad reading bedtime stories to his little girl all about science.
So cute.
And how great STEM is. Check it out. Yeah. We have so much great stuff at thenerdparty.com. Check it out. And also, if you like our show, please go to iTunes. Give us a review. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show.
I love you.
I know.
Scully.
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.